Church, would you stand in the house this morning? to walk through when I face a mountain, and you are the maker, so it's gotta move. When I'm out of faith, you are still faithful. When I'm at my worst, and you are still good. In all of my questions, you are the answer. It all points to you. You're the God of the breakthrough. When I'm breaking down, you'll be working the way through. When there's no way out, this one thing I know, you're still on your throne. So whatever I'm feeling, I still got a reason to praise.
Jesus. Hallelujah. praise from our hearts to the Lord. What a glorious salvation we enjoy through our Lord Jesus Christ today. The blood that he shed, the work he accomplished, the life that he brought when he rose up from the dead. We praise you, Lord. Worship you and glorify and exalt your name today, O Lord. Thank you for the privilege of standing here today as your people, bought and paid for, forgiven and washed clean by the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood that's been applied to our hearts today. We bless you today and we love you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for everybody gathered here this morning, for those who are watching online today as well. We pray, Lord, your blessing upon your people today. Bring healing and health. Bring hope and renewal today, O Lord. Bring strength and peace and joy today, Father. Give us this day our daily bread, O Lord. Supply what we need, O God. May we feel the closeness of the presence of Jesus this morning and the invigorating power of the Holy Spirit living and moving within us today, O Lord. Father, thank you for the privilege we have of living today in a nation where we can worship you freely. We pray, O God, that you would help us to take advantage of every opportunity you have given us to share the gospel, to preach Jesus, to worship you, and to declare to this lost and dying world that Jesus Christ is Lord. And may the light of Jesus shine in the darkness, we pray. Thank you for your blessings this morning. In Jesus' name. And everybody said together, amen. Amen and amen. Good morning, everyone. And welcome to church today on this holiday weekend. We're so glad that you've been able to join us today. Would you take a moment before you're seated to turn around and greet one another and welcome one another to church today, please? God bless you.
Good morning, everyone. Would you please be seated at this time? We have a few quick announcements that we want to share with you. The first announcement is we want to take a moment and welcome some special guests, some new friends of ours that are with us today. We met them just before service. They are our missionary friends to Mozambique. And if they would stand real quick, I want to introduce to the congregation RG and Andrea Matos. Will we welcome them today, please? They are friends with Kendria and Keegan Bonham, and they are actually stationed. They live in New Jersey, and they just finished up their first term on the mission field as missionary associates, and they are home for a short season. They traveled to Springfield, Missouri for the last 3 weeks. They've, I guess you could say, upgraded or at least changed their status from missionary associates to full-blown missionaries, and they are on their way back, driving back to New Jersey today. And they stopped in today to just kind of be with us. So we wanted to introduce them and welcome them. Would you help me welcome them once again today? God bless you. God bless you. Amen. We want to continue to thank you for your faithfulness in your giving to God and to First Assembly. And we want to remind you that you can continue to give either online or visiting now one of the drop boxes that we have stationed throughout the sanctuary. This week, we were able to install 3 new drop boxes at the exit doors on the first floor here. And upstairs, we've got 1 station at the back door. So on your way out, it'd be a little bit more convenient if you want to give that way. We still continue to have the drop box in the lobby as well. So we want to let you know that and thank you again for your faithfulness. All right, I believe that's it in the way of announcements. Would you please stand with us once more as Heidi comes to lead us.
may be seated this morning. Thank you, Heidi and worship team today. And why don't we take a moment? We're not too busy this morning. Let's take a moment to invite RG and Andrea to come on and come on forward. Let's show them off and introduce them a little more further to you. If they'll give us a 2-minute summary of what their ministry is all about, we'll give them a good offering after service. How about that? Isn't that good? Pastor Bob, come on, join me here. And let's welcome these folks. Keegan and Kendria, come on and join them. You are the source of our introduction this morning. And how long have y'all known each other? How long have you known Keegan and Kendria?
Oh, wow, yeah, 6 years, about 6 years.
About 6 years?
Yes.
From a relationship in another church?
Yes, so
from
they
how?
Had Temple Rock of My Salvation in Newark, New Jersey. They came by, and that's how we met.
Are you all from New Jersey?
No.
No? How did you end up there in New Jersey?
My dad, when it was a few years or 6 years ago, he met their pastor online, and God said, go to New Jersey and honor him. And then we became friends and family, more than friends, we became family. And God just connected us, and he just put us in our lives and paths, and we've been friends.
Now, you're not, Keegan, you all aren't moving to New Jersey anytime soon, are you?
No, I'm here in Missouri, guys. I got used to leave.
You're not moving to Mozambique at any time.
Not unless God,
no,
God tells me something
Lord.
Different.
All right, RG, Andrew, share with us a little bit about, are you Chi Alpha missionaries?
We were on a Chi Alpha mission assignment.
Yes.
The Lord has given us the opportunity to work with the National Church because we believe that God's gift to the earth, to Mozambique, is the church. So we want to empower them and create more disciples.
Awesome. Are you going to be church planting? What exactly? Do you know what the plan is?
We'll be church planting virtually. We're going to help with them with the audio visual, disciple and train, and hopefully get to the rural places of Mozambique quick and effectively.
All right, tell everybody where Mozambique is.
Mozambique.
And what it's about. What is Mozambique like?
Mozambique was colonized by Portugal for 400 years. They speak the Portuguese language. On the coast, they're by the Indian Ocean, right across the island or country called Madagascar.
All right. He knows his stuff, doesn't he? All right, let's pray over them today. Now, do you pronounce your name? How do you pronounce? Is it tomatoes or tomatoes?
Matos.
Yeah, Matos. How do you pronounce it?
Johannes and Andrea Matos.
Matos.
Yes.
All right. Let's express our appreciation to the Matos family. We welcome them, and we're glad they came by today. We're going to provide you an offering after service, and we're going to pick you up for $100 a month. How about that? Let's do that, and you'll be our new friends as well. All right, step on down here, and we'll have several gather around you and pray and lift you up to the Lord today in prayer. Congregation, let's stand one more time, and let's have several of you come and gather around this new missionary family today and pray the Lord's blessing upon them and ask God to anoint their ministry and to provide them. Now, RG, you've just started a year-long itineration, is that right? Okay, so they're in the process of starting a new season of itineration to raise money for this new opportunity. So let's agree together in prayer. And Claire McMillan, you come up here right now, please. And I'm going to ask you to lead us in prayer for the Matos family, that the Lord will bless them. Swallow your gum real quickly, please, there. Okay. Oh, a mint. She's got a mint in her mouth. How many of you know that's my fault? That's my fault. All right. All right. Let's agree together as Claire leads us in prayer for them today, in Jesus' name.
Dear Heavenly Father, I just lift up the Matos family to you right now, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
I thank you for giving them the opportunity that they have to do missions, Lord, and reach the country in places that don't know you yet, Lord. I pray that you provide them with strength.
Yes, Father.
I pray that you provide them with peace and joy,
yes,
and motivation,
Lord,
to keep going even when it seems impossible, Lord, because you can do the impossible.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, I pray that you just guide them in every area of them of their life, in their relationship, Lord, in their mission. Mm-hmm. And I pray that you just lift them up, Lord, when they're feeling down, Lord, and keep them safe,
yes,
and keep
Lord.
Them healthy, Lord. And we pray all of this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. All right. Thank you, Claire. And thank you, Archie and Andrea. Amen, amen. All right, you may be seated again, everybody, for the fourth time this morning. And let's look to the Word of God together, please. In Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. My dear old seminary professor, Dr. Stanley Horton, used to sign this scripture verse when he signed his books. And this was his prayer and his wish and his blessing to all of his students. And it is an appropriate blessing for us today. Romans 15, 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Would you say amen? Today, our title is Joy Like a Fountain. Last Sunday morning, we started this series with a message entitled Peace Like a River. How many of you are glad today for the peace of God that passes understanding, a peace that is good during the good times and the bad times? Today, we're going to talk about a close cousin to the peace of God, and that is the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is one of the most powerful commodities available to the Christian. Joy is power. Joy transforms weaklings into workers and wimps into warriors. And joy can transform a dud into dynamite. How many of you know there's a whole lot of difference when you see somebody who is filled and overflowing with the joy of the Lord? Makes a powerfully transforming difference in somebody's life to experience and to demonstrate the joy of the Lord. Joy is a divine energy source. It's like premium gasoline or rocket fuel. It launches believers out into new areas and of boldness and productivity as they serve the Lord. Joy just absolutely just fills us with the power and the strength we need to keep on going. Joy will make you a better witness for Jesus. Have you ever known somebody who tried to witness for Jesus without joy? And somebody says, I don't want whatever they've got, I don't want it. Wouldn't it be better for somebody to say, whatever they've got, I want some of that? Yeah. Joy will make you a better witness for Jesus. It'll make you a better teacher, a better preacher, a better deacon, a better usher, a better singer. Joy will make you a better worshiper, a better giver, because God loves a cheerful giver, right? Joy will make you a better prayer, a better encourager. Anything you do for the Lord, you do better with joy. We're talking today about the joy of the Lord, a spiritual joy, a uniquely Christian joy, not just a fleeting feeling, of being happy, but a deeply rooted sense of happiness and wholeness that's wrapped up in your faith and in your relationship with Jesus. There are some poor imitations of joy out there. There are the pleasures of this world. There's the sense of feeling good when the times are good. But nothing compares with the genuine joy of the Lord. So I want us to consider today the promise of joy for the Christian, and then the pathway to joy so that we can hopefully get our joy rallied and revived and refreshed in the Lord as we serve the Lord. One thing I can tell you for sure this morning, in this troubled world, we need the joy of the Lord. We really do. So let's think first of all this morning about the promise of joy that abides throughout the Word of God. There is this promise that stretches out to God's people all the way through the pages of the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's a promise that God's people can be happy in the Lord. Or, when I grew up as a kid, we had a testimony service every Sunday night and Wednesday night. People would stand and sometimes give the same testimony week after week after week. And one lady would always stand in the testimony service, and she would begin her testimony every time with these exact words: I'm glad for Jesus tonight. I remember that declaration. I'm glad for Jesus. We could translate that a little bit more. We could say glad in Jesus. glad because of Jesus. The point there is a gladness that comes from being connected with the Lord Jesus Christ and experiencing what he has to provide to us. And there is this promise of joy that reaches throughout the entire word of God. Three notes I want to make about the promise of joy. First of all, there is a prince of joy. Now, you know that we talked last week about the Prince of Peace. That's a more familiar title. But did you know that Jesus came to be the Prince not only of peace, but the Prince of joy? Look at it in the Christmas story in Luke chapter 2, verse 8. Listen to this word from the Christmas story as the shepherds are out in the fields. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel of the Lord said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." When Jesus was announced, when he came as a baby in a manger, the angels declared, "This baby will issue in the joy of God into this world and into the lives of people who will receive his message and will come up under his lordship and provision." There is a prince of joy, and his name is Jesus. I want to say to you this morning that the plan of God in Jesus is to bring not only eternal life to people who will receive Jesus and believe in him, but the plan of God is to bring abundant life. Do you believe that? Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, "It's the thief, the devil, who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that you might have life and have it to the full." And so Jesus came that we might experience a fullness of life and a fullness of joy. Jesus wants your life to be a life filled with a gladness and a joy and a happiness in Jesus. How many of you believe today that God does not desire that depression and despondency and discouragement plague your life day after day? No. He wants you to experience his peace and his joy. Jesus came to bring us eternal life and to cause us to be able to enjoy the process along the way. The Prince of Joy. Secondly, there is a promise of joy that comes directly from Jesus himself. John 15, verse 9. Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be what? Complete. A fullness of joy that you might experience the full package of the joy of the Lord, the gladness of God. This promise from Jesus is extended out to all who will follow him, all of those who will live in his love and will live, you know, under his lordship. Jesus says, "I am going to provide this so that you may live a life that is filled with joy. Your joy will be complete." There's a promise of joy. Well, then the third point about that promise of joy this morning is a question: is joylessness prevailing in your life? Some people don't experience too much of the joy of the Lord, even though they call themselves Christians. In fact, even in the Psalm 42, the psalmist asks, "Why are you so downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me?" Over and over again in that psalm and the next, he asks himself the same questions. Why am I so downcast? Why am I so disturbed and troubled within me? And then he reminds himself, put your hope in God. For I will yet praise him. He's my Savior and my God. I need to trust in the Lord because I feel downcast in my spirit right now. And we acknowledge the downers of this life, the doldrums of everyday living, so much grief that fills the pages of our lives. Some of these things just have a tendency to try to sap our joy and to pull us away from experiencing the peace and the joy of the Lord. That's why we need the real deal and not a counterfeit. We need a joy that will prevail even in the tough times of life. Right. And the Bible, the Word of God, contains for us some principles that will help us to experience joy even in the tough times of life. Let's look this morning at the pathway to joy in the Word of God. And I want to provide to you this morning four simple truths about jump-starting our joy and being able to really focus on how to receive the joy of the Lord in our lives. Now, how many here today have heard a sermon at one time or another in your life about being joyful in the Lord? Yeah, everybody in the house, no doubt. We've all heard these things, but we live in a world that provides us new difficulties daily. And I found that sometimes even the most seasoned believers find themselves in places where they are not accessing and experiencing the fullness of the blessings of God. Sometimes because they have literally, in the midst of a world of distraction, they have literally forgotten about some of the provisions that are supposed to be available to us as God's people. Sometimes we go through all of this disturbance and stress and strife and trouble, and we forget that we're supposed to be a people of peace, right? And suddenly it dawns on us, this isn't the way it's supposed to be. Sometimes people march through this life without much joy in the Lord until they suddenly realize again, I'm supposed to be, as a Christian, I'm supposed to be experiencing spiritual happiness in my life. Where is that? Well, let's think about that today, and let's discover some principles that will lead us to experiencing the joy of the Lord. Number one, we've got to rediscover the roots of joy. Where does joy, spiritual joy, scriptural joy, where does it come from? And there are three sources of joy that I find in the scriptures today. One, joy is rooted in appreciating the beauty of your salvation. Now, who in the house today, you are saved? How many of you are a child of God? You're born again? Yep, on your way to heaven, say amen. All right. Well, joy is rooted, first of all, in appreciating the beauty of your salvation. We see it in an Old Testament scripture, Isaiah 61:10. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. Isaiah is saying, and you know, Isaiah was an Old Testament prophet who looked forward to Jesus in a prophetic sense. And Isaiah said, the Lord's salvation is such that it's as if God has really decked me out. I mean, he has just loaded me and dressed me in the finest of fineries. Notice what Isaiah says. He's clothed me with garments of salvation, arrayed me in a robe of righteousness. He puts a head covering upon me like a priest, and as a bride would adorn herself with precious jewels, the Lord has placed all of this beauty and grace and riches upon me. And these are the riches of God's salvation. Wow. God has really been gracious and good to me. I didn't deserve it. I was a sinner. You know, I had fallen short of the glory of God. But in God's great love and mercy and grace, he has chosen to save me. And in the process, he has really done a fantastic job of it. And joy is rooted, maybe this is hard for longtime Christians who have begun to take everything for granted. Are you here? Maybe you don't appreciate your air conditioning at home today, because after all, you've had it all these years. Well, just move to the Sahara Desert and live in a tent on the sand, and you'll probably appreciate air conditioning. Are you awake this morning? Sometimes we become so pampered and so spoiled and so accustomed to living such a blessed life that we barely even think about how blessed we are. That's the truth. And we lose our sense of thanksgiving, our sense of awe. We lose our sense of appreciation for anything. One little thing goes wrong and it's messed up our day when we don't realize what a good day we've got because of all of the provisions God has given to us. You know, the drive-through line is a little long and we didn't go through the drive-through line because we were aggravated and we forget how blessed we are to be able to eat every day because we've been provided for so abundantly. Are you listening this morning? Yeah. And so sometimes when it comes to our salvation, we forget the beauty and the power and the preciousness of what Jesus has done for us. And when we sing, "Thank you, Jesus, for the blood applied," we just barely even get a goosebump. Friends, I'm here to tell you today, we need to get back to the place where we are grateful beyond measure for what Jesus has done for us. I'll tell you, you and I were lost and dying. We were dying in our sins. We were on our way to an eternity without God. And Jesus, the Son of God, stepped in. He died on the cross for us. He paid the price with his own blood. He bore our sins and our sicknesses and our sorrows. And he took our place of judgment so that we can be free and saved and on our way to heaven. We are a blessed bunch. Yeah. And joy is rooted in appreciating the beauty of our salvation. If you don't get there, you can really forget the rest of the message. If you're not really glad to be saved today, you can kind of check out for the rest of the message today. The second root of joy is rooted in anticipating the benefits of your salvation. Not only what the Lord has already done for us, but what this salvation includes in our future benefits package, right? We see it in 1 Peter chapter 1. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. The point Peter is making is this: Jesus is coming one of these days, and he's going to bring us to heaven. And nothing in this world can interrupt that process if we'll hold on to Jesus. And Peter says, because of that, even in the midst of your trials, you rejoice. Not only that, you greatly rejoice because of what's ahead. Yeah. So joy is rooted in anticipating the benefits of your salvation, what this salvation is going to mean. Thirdly, joy is rooted in assurance and boldness in your salvation. Are you saved today and you know it? If you're saved and you know it, say amen. Yeah. If this confidence, this assurance, this boldness in being saved and in experiencing the forgiveness of God, the cleansing of God, the hope of God that is in us, this assurance and boldness in that salvation is really what brings an overflowing joy. Look at it in 1 Peter 1:8. Though you have not seen Jesus, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So joy is rooted in knowing that you know that you know that you know that you know that you're saved, right? That your past is washed away, right? That you're on your way to heaven, right? That no power on earth can separate you from the love of God, right? And that boldness and that assurance in the Lord is enough to bring a joy that is overwhelming and overflowing, a joy unspeakable and full of glory, or inexpressible and glorious. Now, think about this. When was the last time you experienced a glorious joy in your spirit? A glorious joy. Some of you just this morning in the worship time, some of you even now. Joy is not necessarily something that's going to make you jump up and down. Different personalities respond differently to joy. But joy is real. It's a real deeply rooted gladness within our souls. When was the last time you experienced genuine, glorious joy in your life because of spiritual things? If it's been a while, it could be because you have forgotten to be thinking about, to be appreciating, to be grateful for, to be glad for what Jesus has done for you and what Jesus is doing and what he's going to do in the days ahead for you. Yeah. And if you know all of that, it may be because you're not even really very confident in that. But when you become confident, your faith built strongly upon the work of Jesus Christ, and you are able to shout to the highest mountains, what Jesus has done for me is enough for my eternal salvation. When that boldness and assurance comes in your salvation, that's when joy begins to arise. So let's understand that if we get our minds and our hearts and our attention and our focus on everything other than the stuff of God, then we're not going to experience the real joy of the Lord. If your happiness is rooted in worldly things, then the joy of the Lord will not be one of your chiefest commodities to enjoy. But if you get your mind on the Lord, get your heart on the Lord, get your mind back in the scriptures, understand what Jesus has done for you, boy, there are the roots of joy. Where does joy come from? It comes from all of this awareness of who Jesus is, what he's done, what he's doing, what he's going to do for us, and really taking our stand upon all of that. Rediscover the roots of joy. Second key is to reevaluate the realms of joy. Where does joy operate? Where am I? In what situations am I supposed to experience the joy of the Lord? Well, first of all, joy operates in the midst of pleasure and plenty and perfection. And my scripture verse is Obvious 3:16. No text necessary. How many of you know anybody can be happy when everything's going right? It doesn't take a rocket scientist for you to experience the joy of the Lord when you've got everything you want and there's no troubles in life. But how many of you know this world is not like that? There are some days that are better than others, but this world is filled with trouble. Job said that. The oldest book in the Bible, Job said that. Not only did Job say that, but Jesus said that. This world is filled with trouble, And so joy needs to operate in the midst of problems and pains and persecutions. The truth is, this world is filled with trouble. We need something that will last no matter how dark the days get. Yep. And how many of you know the days are getting darker? In the world in which we live, the days are getting darker. These are difficult seasons, but the joy of the Lord operates no matter how dark the night. Do you believe with me that Jesus is brighter than any dark night? Say amen. He shines brightly. And joy operates in the midst of all of those things, and problems and pains and persecutions. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians, Paul writes about a lot of his troubles and frustrations, both in Ephesus and in the province of Asia, and when he got to Macedonia. Lots of troubles, Paul says. But notice what Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 7, 4. He said, I am greatly encouraged, and get this word, in all our troubles, my joy knows no bounds. Think about that. In all our troubles, my joy knows no bounds. I love that. I like to pick that verse apart and understand that Paul is saying, no matter what trouble comes, it cannot limit the joy of the Lord that I am experiencing in my life. Because my joy is rooted in these things we just discussed, in Jesus and in my relationship with Him and who He is, what He's doing in my life, what He's going to do. My joy has no bounds. My joy cannot be stopped. My joy cannot be hindered, even when people come against me, difficulties arise, troubles try to knock me down, the devil tries to bowl me over. Doesn't matter what happens, my joy is just as good in the bad times as in the good times. In fact, I would have to say that the joy of the Lord might be more pronounced in the bad times than in the good times, because it becomes an obvious contrast to what we're going through. Who here can march through some great trial, some great family trial, some great trial of sickness, through some great shortage or difficulty that you're experiencing in your life? If you can march through that thing and still have the joy of the Lord in your soul, then you understand what a contrast it is to experience the presence and power of God in your life to what this world wants to try to impose upon us all the time. I'm telling you, the world is not going to win the victory over me. Are you here this morning? No matter how, I'm here to declare this to you this morning. No matter how dark and difficult and deranged this world gets, this world is not going to win the victory over Lowell Perkins. Are you here this morning? And I hope that that's where you are too, children of God. We live in this world, but we're not of this world. Right? We walk through it every day, but we are citizens of heaven. We're marching to Zion. We're trudging through the swamp, but we're looking forward to paradise. Yes? So I encourage you, don't let the darkness of this world defeat you. Understand, Jesus has done enough for you to experience victory and joy even in the darkest of nights. Yes. Yes, so reevaluate the realms of joy. It doesn't matter what's going on around you. It's what's going on inside of you that matters. And Jesus is living in you. Reevaluate the realms of joy. Three, let's rethink the reasons for joy. What does joy accomplish in my life? What does joy accomplish in my life? What are the reasons for joy? Well, I've picked out two simple reasons that joy operates. One, joy stirs us to dance and sing and shout. And I like it in Psalm 100. Look at it there. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Shout for what? Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. So joy stirs up within us this celebratory attitude that causes us to be able to sing and to shout out and maybe to do a little two-step every now and then, a little dance of celebration to the Lord. Watch me, everybody. Watch me now. Watch me. That's about as much as I do here. Watch me again. Joy. Shelly says, calm down, Pastor. Calm down. Keep your composure. Joy causes us to celebrate in the Lord and to shout for joy to the Lord. Friends, listen, joy increases dramatically the genuineness and power of our praise and worship. Right? If for no other reason, we ought to pursue the joy of the Lord because it makes us far more genuine and intense worshipers of the Lord. It causes us to really express to the Lord how grateful we are, how privileged we are to be His people. Oh, I praise you, Lord. Oh, I thank you, Lord. Yes. Oh, I rejoice in you, Lord. Joy stirs us to dance and sing and shout. And then a second reason for joy, joy strengthens us to do and serve and even shell out. I didn't say sell out, I said shell out. Joy strengthens us to serve and to work and to give. Nehemiah 8:10 is a familiar verse of Scripture. The joy of the Lord is your what? Strength. Is your strength. The joy of the Lord is strength. And joy motivates us to serve the Lord and to serve others and to give and to bless, right? Joy motivates us to be cheerful givers. Remember, Paul is writing there in 2 Corinthians. He's writing about an offering he's taking. Paul is traveling around the New Testament world receiving an offering when he writes in 2 Corinthians. And he's giving all of these rules in 1 and 2 Corinthians and other places. He's giving all of these rules for receiving the offering. Now, when we get over there, have your offering already laid up so we don't want to have to press everybody when we get there. Get your money together, he says. And, you know, he's got all these. He says, now, we're sending with the offering. We're sending these brothers here who are keeping the offering process accountable, all these. Paul is receiving this huge love offering throughout the New Testament world. All over receiving this huge love offering. Who's the love offering for? That's the quiz today. It's for the poor saints in Jerusalem. Okay? He's on his way to Jerusalem. He's receiving a big love offering to take back to the poor saints in Jerusalem to bless them. And he's telling the Gentile world, he's telling the Gentile Christians, we're receiving this offering from you. And, you know, the Jewish people have blessed you spiritually. And so you ought to bless them with a good offering. Okay? And Paul makes much of this offering. And then we come to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And Paul says, God, when we get there, he said, we don't want anybody to give grudgingly or to feel like you have to give. Have you ever felt that way? I've been in a lot of offerings. As a preacher connected with agencies, I've been in a lot of offering services where I felt strong-armed. Have you? We try not to do that here, okay? We don't do that here. I resist and I refuse to strong-arm anybody. But I've been in offering services where they tried to strong arm you to give. Paul said, no, we're not gonna, when we come over there, we're not gonna strong arm anybody over there. You have your money already laid up and ready to give because we don't want anybody to give grudgingly or because you feel like you have to give because God loves a cheerful giver. God is in love with someone. God's in love with all of us. But God loves it when we give cheerfully out of our hearts. And joy in the Lord produces that kind of gladness and cheer in serving, in giving,
in blessing others and in encouraging other people. Joy strengthens us to go out and do all of those things. Look at me, friends. Look at me. I would hate to live any part of the Christian life without the joy of the Lord, because everything would become a drudgery. I got to get up. Wouldn't it be terrible if every Sunday I got up on Sunday morning and said, oh, I have to preach again today. Wouldn't that be a terrible life? And then I came to the Wednesday night service, and oh, I have to preach again. I have to teach again tonight. More work. Wouldn't it be terrible after all these years of preaching, Sunday morning, Wednesday night, for many years, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, sermon after sermon after sermon after sermon. Wouldn't it be terrible if tomorrow morning I got to my office, or Tuesday morning, since tomorrow's a holiday, wouldn't it be terrible if I got to my office tomorrow morning and I said, oh, another week and another sermon. I got to write another sermon. Wouldn't that be terrible? Instead, I have the privilege of experiencing the joy of the Lord in my work. Amen. In my work. And even in your work, your full-time work may not be preaching and teaching. Your full-time work may be something in this secular world, but as you work, the Lord strengthens you. The Lord's presence can be there with you, right? You can get up in the morning saying, this is the day the Lord has made. He's given me another day to live for him, to serve him, to be a blessing to other people, to share and shine the light of Jesus. Oh, what a good life it is living for the Lord. And the joy of the Lord strengthens us to live out our lives in such a way that is meaningful and fruitful. Whew. I love that, don't you? You say, Pastor, don't you ever have bad days? Of course I have bad days, just like you do. But I want you to know, though I may have bad days, I don't have a bad Jesus. Amen. Are you here? I have bad days, but I don't have a bad... On the worst days, I have the best Jesus. Yes. So the joy of the Lord strengthens us to live out the Christian life, to make us a blessing. Yes? Yes, could I have a better amen? Amen? We've got to rediscover the roots of joy. We've got to reevaluate the realms of joy. We've got to rethink the reasons for joy. And fourthly and finally, we've got to refill the reservoirs. We've got to refill it. We've got to refill the reservoirs of joy. Yes? We got to keep the tank on full, right? I was at the gas station a couple weeks ago, and I made a joke with the gas station attendant. I said something about the gas prices, you know. And the gas station attendant, he's a young man, he's probably 22 or 23, young man in the gas station. And I just kind of teased him a little bit, made a joke. He said, I'll tell you what, he said, these people have got it all wrong. He said, I'm watching the process. He said, they've got it all wrong. He said, people are coming in here, they're filling up their tank. They're filling it full. They're spending these high gas prices, they're filling it full. And he said, I see what's happening. He said, they're filling their tanks full. And he said, what they should be doing is just buying barely enough gas each day to get by. He said, they're filling the tanks up, and that's why the prices are going up. I thought, yeah, here he is, here, Economics 317 is what I'm getting here. He said, people are making a big mistake, he said. Filling these tanks up. They need to get just a barely enough. He said, if they would just get a tiny little bit, barely enough to get by each day, he said, you watch these gas prices would drop. I had just filled the tank. and was about to fill my other tank on snacks that I had bought. Barely enough. Oh, I urge you this morning, friends, when it comes to the joy of the Lord and the other provisions of God, don't be guilty of just allowing a little dab to do you. Are you here? Yeah. I didn't see that. I think that young man has left his job at the gas station. I don't know. I haven't seen him since. Just get a little tiny bit. A little tiny bit. He's running for Congress, I think, or something. I don't know. Just get a little bit'll do you. Too many Christians live on that philosophy. Oh, just get a little bit. Let's just get a little bit. Just get barely enough to get us by. Oh, I want to make it to heaven, but that's it. I want to make it by the skin of my teeth into heaven. I don't need any more than I need. Oh, listen, friends. We need all the peace of God that we can get in a troubled world, right? We need all the joy of the Lord that we can get in the midst of a troubled world, right? We need everything God has for us today. And we want to live with our tanks on full. Yes. So we've got to refill the reservoirs of joy. Let's think about these principles very quickly. One, we've got to pursue the promise of joy. If you see in the scriptures today that the word of God promises that you can be joyful, then I encourage you, Christian, to pursue that promise. Hebrews 6:12 says, we don't want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. Rise up and pursue the promise, the promises of God, and say to yourself, Christian, I am a Christian. I'm supposed to be filled with joy, right? And if that's me, I'm going to get what's coming to me. Through Jesus Christ, he paid far too high a price for me to do without what he has made available to me. Yes? Pursue the promise of joy. Second, let's cultivate the commodity of joy. Joy is grown within us. Galatians 5:22 says, it's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. Be filled with the Spirit. Get into prayer and into the presence of God and let the joy of the Lord begin to grow in your life. Filled with the Spirit. Three, request a restoration of joy if your joy has been robbed or ruined. In Psalm 51, David had just fallen into a great sin against the Lord. That sin had been confronted, and a prophet had pronounced judgment upon David. And David went to prayer. That experience, David's sin and the grossness of his sin, just depleted his joy. It does. And David said, Lord, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Restore joy to me. In the New Testament, when Paul wrote to the Galatians had been saved on Paul's first missionary journey. Is everybody still awake today? The Galatians had been saved on Paul's first missionary journey, and they had been real joyful in their salvation. But then a year later, several months later, Paul writes back to them in his letter to the Galatians, and he says something. He says, what has happened to all your joy? That's the question Paul asks. What has happened to all your joy? I'll tell you what had happened. They got their eyes off the fact that Jesus was enough for their salvation. They began to think they had to go through a bunch of religious rituals and routines and Jewish practices to really be saved. They had forgotten that Jesus had accomplished their salvation in full and their joy began to fade away. I'll tell you, the joy comes when we realize that everything we have needed to be saved and in right relationship with God has come through Jesus Christ. Yeah, Jesus is enough. And the Galatians, their joy just faded away because they got their eyes off of Jesus. And when we find ourselves like that, we need to request a restoration of joy. Four, connect with the community of joy. Acts 2:46 says about the new Christians, the early Christians, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying all the favor of all the people. As they met together as the people of God, they rejoiced in the Lord and joy filled their hearts and their homes. Look at the next one, park in the presence of joy. Psalm 16:11, David said, "You've made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." When I get in your presence, Lord, and spend time with you, there's joy there. And I feel, I sense the joy of the Lord. Look at the next key. Key number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Sign up for the service of joy. That is, get busy in the work of the Lord. Psalm 126 says, "He who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him." When you do the work of the Lord, there's spiritual fruit and spiritual produce, and that spiritual result and harvest brings great joy into our hearts. Isn't that right? Yeah. Have you ever been involved in winning someone to the Lord? Have you ever been involved in winning someone to the Lord? Didn't that bring great joy into your life? Sure it does. Get involved with things that bring joy. Next, obey the orders of joy. I'll tell you, sometimes we just have to grab ourselves by the bootstraps. I hate that expression. You know, sometimes we really need to pick up from the Lord, but sometimes we've got to make the move too. And Philippians 4:4, Paul, writing from prison in Rome to the Philippians, writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again," what? Rejoice. He just doesn't even give any room for options there. You folks over there, get happy, right? When we were kids growing up in church, we used to joke about, well, I shouldn't even go into that. Well, I will. We used to joke because sometimes it appeared that, sometimes the pastor maybe just wasn't quite prepared to preach. And so he got them shouting. Have you ever heard that expression? He got them shouting, you know. In other words, he tried to stir everybody up, you know, so that we could do something different other than he wouldn't have to preach that day, you know. That's where that old expression comes from, where people say, "Man, we had a great service today. The pastor didn't even preach." You know what? I rebuke that statement in the name of Jesus. "Man, we had a great service. The pastor didn't even preach." Well, I know what they're talking about. Well, sometimes Paul says to the Philippians here, he says, you need to get happy over there in the things of the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. And if you didn't hear it the first time, Paul says, I'll say it again, rejoice. And he, by the way, he had already said it in Philippians. In the earlier chapter, he says, "Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord." But even though he said finally, like most preachers, that wasn't the end of it. Okay? He said, "I'm closing," but then he comes back around again with another chapter. Ultimately, Paul says, we've got to just insist on rejoicing in the good things of God. And lastly, as we think about refilling the reservoirs of joy, we just need to accept the anointing of joy that comes from the Lord. It's a gift. It's a precious blessing from the Lord. And here we're back to Isaiah chapter 61 in the Old Testament. Verse 1, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me." Does anybody recognize that word from Luke chapter 4? Anybody remember who said those words in the New Testament? Jesus. This is that passage Jesus quoted in Luke chapter 4 when he launched out in his ministry. He said, the Spirit of the Lord, the Sovereign Lord, is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. Here it is, here it is, here it is. The oil of what? The oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Jesus says, I want to bestow upon you the oil of gladness, the joy of the Lord. Why don't we, as his people, instead of being grumpy and gripey, why don't we just open our hearts wide and say, lay it on, Lord. I receive your joy, and I intend to live in it and to function every day with a glad heart, a grateful soul. Amen? With the energy of the Spirit of God flowing and working through my life, living in the joy of the Lord. Joy like a fountain. Amen and amen. Stand together, please, everybody. And let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you today. Thank you for being here in our midst today, Lord. Thank you for loving us and looking upon us today. Thank you for speaking into our lives this morning through the work of your Holy Spirit. You are here today, O Lord, to accomplish things in our lives. This is not just a pre-holiday service to get church out of the way and then go to the holiday activity. This is our time in the presence of God with the people of God this morning. This is the day of the Lord, the Lord's day. This is the day you've made, Lord. And this service today, this gathering of believers, is a gathering filled with the presence of Jesus. Thank you for being here today, Lord. I pray in the name of Jesus for those in the room this morning who need a fresh anointing of the joy of the Lord. I pray, oh God, that they would open up their hearts and spirits to you, Lord, and say, yes, Lord, I'm ready to receive what you have for me today. And that, Father, you would just absolutely pour out upon us today a fresh joy in the Lord. Help us to learn, oh Lord, that joy doesn't come from the stuff of this world. Joy comes from you, from our relationship with you. So as we draw near to you, Lord, just apply that fresh anointing, the oil of gladness, Lord. Fill us with your presence, your peace, your joy. May we, oh Lord, just learn to look upon you and be grateful for all that you have done in us, for us, up ahead of us, oh Lord. What a good God you are. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Is there anybody here today you've never received Jesus as your Savior into your life? And today, before we leave today, you'd say, Pastor Lowell, I want to receive Jesus Christ into my life, the Son of God, and begin a new life as a follower of Christ, living in the plan of God for me. Anybody here today, slip up your hand right now. I'm going to look across the sanctuary for just a moment. Anyone here, I want to receive Jesus into my life today. Please pray for me. Anybody here this morning, you need today a fresh intervention of God into your life. Perhaps because of some crisis that you're going through right now. But you need the Lord to come even this morning and just flood your life with hope and joy and peace in the midst of that dark season that you're going through. You say, I'm going to trust the Lord for that this morning. Would you just lift your hand in confidence today? The Lord is able to meet you where you are. Yes, yes, yes. Others today, just slip your hand up. I need that fresh intervention of the Lord's joy. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, I see a number of hands being lifted today. The Lord is our source. Take hold of him today. Take hold of him today. He's our source. Now, our prayer teams have come this morning, have positioned themselves across the front, up in the balcony as well, and along the sides. If you need prayer today as we leave this morning, just feel free to come and make your way to our prayer teams. We'll be glad to pray for you and lift you up to the Lord this morning, agree together with you in prayer, and we'll believe the Lord will touch you afresh and anew this morning. Now, friends, may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you, give you peace and joy. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you, everyone. Have a great holiday weekend, and be blessed in the Lord. In Jesus' name.